Second Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version, I think. Not sure which Bible I'm in, I'm reading it of. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. How many of you have obtained like precious faith? You have faith to believe in God, then you've obtained like precious faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? With us, by the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, it's by His righteousness and not any righteousness of our own. Amen? And because of His righteousness and what God did in sending His Son, and what Jesus did in coming to the cross and bearing our sins in His body on the tree and dying in our place. Verse 2, we can have grace and peace. Amen? That's the love of God and the peace of God that passes understanding. And it can be multiplied into us. How many are glad it's not just a one-time thing, but it's been multiplied to us? Time and time again. Amen. Isn't God good? Lord, praise. Somebody say amen. Praise God. It's been multiplied to you. Our understanding of that is not totally complete because we're always learning more. Amen. It's like I know Brother Jim, and Brother Jim knows me, and we love one another, and we're acquainted with each other, but the fact of the matter is, I don't know all there is to know about him. He don't know all there is to know about me. There's a lot of good things I probably need to learn from about him and from him, and there's things he needs to learn from me and about me. So our goal in this life, as we go through it, as Christians and as believers, is so that we can gain the knowledge and we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We haven't learned everything that there is to know. Amen? That means we haven't experienced everything that we could experience with Him. So our peace and our grace not only comes through His grace, but it also is a growing process. And as we grow in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine, that's God's divine power, amen. Thank God I can't be saving my. I'm not saving my power. Amen. Not any of us can save ourselves. Amen. We all come the same way through the same door, through the same name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But it's His divine power, God's power, divine power, and through Christ has given to us. Everybody say given. Amen. I mean, we can't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. Are you with me? Given to us one or two things. Just a few things. Something every now and then. What does that word say there? Anybody know? Reading? Doesn't it say all? All. All things. Amen. All things that pertain to life and godliness, He's given us. His divine power has given us those things. Amen. And through the knowledge of Him who calls us to glory and virtue. So the more understanding that we have in our relationship with Him, the more knowledge, and as we get to know Him and we understand how He knows us, then the life and the godliness and all of these things comes through that knowledge as He's called us to glory and virtue. So we need to hang in there, and we need to remember that we need to draw close to the Lord. Like James said, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh near to you. And if you're missing the Lord in your life and think that He's not there like you would like for Him to be, then start seeking Him. Draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. And then start reading His Word so you can get the milk of the Word and the knowledge of the Word, and you can have more knowledge. And as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more understanding that we have of Him, the more we'll love Him. And the more we can, and the better we can pray, because we'll know what to ask for. Amen? Not only for ourselves, but for others. I think I'm on verse 4. By which, it's through that grace and knowledge that comes by Him who's called us to glory and virtue, by Him, by which we have been given, or has been given to us, exceedingly great. I want every Christian here to understand, and God wants you to understand, that what you have from God is not just some little thing. It's an exceedingly great thing. Amen. An exceedingly great thing. By which we have been given, has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. So you have some promises. How many of you know what the promises are? He's given us these promises. The reason He's given us His promises is so that we can come to Him and claim His promises in our lives. Amen? Because He says, look here, it's through these promises. Amen? You're going to have a tough time getting along in this life if you don't understand His promises. And you're not going to find His promises unless you get into His Word. Just coming to church on Sunday or occasionally and trying to hear a preacher on the radio or whatever, you can't get the promises that way. You have, if I have something that's been given me through a promise, and if it's a good thing, an exceeding great and wonderful thing, then I want to go find out what the promise is so I can have it. Amen? We all should want that. What's wrong with us, I wonder sometimes. That through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. It's His divine nature that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's through these promises that I understand that I'm a child of God. It's through these promises that I understand that I'm a partaker of the divine nature, that I have been born again by His Spirit into His kingdom, and I am a child of God, and so therefore, I have the divine nature, His divine nature in me, and that's what makes us Christians. Let me tell you something, that's the only thing that makes us Christians. That's what Jesus was explaining to one of the wisest men in His day, and a doctor of whatever divinity and religion and so on, Nicodemus. He said, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And when we're born again, Peter tells us we are partakers of the divine nature. Amen? That means we become, as Corinthians says, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Aren't you still the same person that you were? No, I am in my physical body, but in my spiritual man, I am no longer the same person as I used to be when I met Jesus Christ. He changed my life. I was born again, and I become a partaker of the divine nature. My name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I have eternal life. Amen. So, that through these promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason. We all need to be reminded of this. I know I do. Giving all diligence. Sometimes we take our salvation and our new creation that we are in Christ and our relationship with God, we take that for granted. You with me? We forget what it cost Him, what it cost the Father to give His Son. We forget that what it cost His Son to lay down His life and what He went through for us. We forget. So, and He tells us we don't need to forget. That's why I'm preaching this sermon. As a matter of fact, the title of this sermon is to remember. To remember. To be put in remembrance. God wants us to remember some things. Amen?
giving all diligence, and that needs to be a diligent thing. We need to seek after this like you'd go, somebody tell you, you know, yeah, there's a gold mine over there, and we go, we went over there and got some gold. You can go get it. It's just laying around. Go pick it up. If you believe it, you'll go get it. Amen? If you don't, you won't. You say, oh, I don't have time for that right now. Huh? So giving all diligence. Now, here's some things that he wants you to do and we to do, us as Christians, as believers, to do. We're to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. Everybody could use a little bit of that, couldn't we? To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now, he wants us to add these things. We could spend a lot of time on that, but that's something we have to do. Amen? Yes, understand, that's your responsibility. That's not God's, that's yours. If these things are yours and abound, what will become of you? What will happen to you? You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the other thing is, if we don't do those things and do these things and do what God says in His Word, then we're going to be lacking in our relationship with the Lord, and we're not going to be as fruitful. We're going to be more or less barren. Are you with me? For he, that is that person who lacks these things, who doesn't do these things, is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten. If you don't do these things, one of the things that happens to us is that you'll forget that you were even purged from your old sins. You'll wonder whether you're saved or not. You won't have that assurance of your salvation. Therefore, because all of these things are true, he's saying, be even more diligent to make your calling, not somebody else's, your calling. Be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. We need to make our calling and our election sure. I need to know where I stand, and I need to know without a shadow of a doubt, and you do too, and every Christian does, where we stand in our relationship with God. Amen? So much so that when doubts come and fears come and we stumble and we fall and we find ourselves in the mud, and like so many times we do and think we fail and whatever, and we come short of the glory of God, and the enemy says, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. How could he save somebody like you? Like me? Look at what you've done since you've become a Christian. Wow. Then I have the faith. I have his word. And I can countermand that and say, I still am a child of God. I still belong to God because he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Amen? He's with me always. Amen? So I can use the word of God. See, the Bible says in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the deceitfulness of the enemy who comes in the battle is right here in our minds through doubts and fears and uncertainties and unbelief and all these things. Some you don't realize sometimes until you really get into these spiritual battles that there's a lot of things coming into our minds that the enemy's trying to put there and tries to put fear and doubt and worry and frustrations and all of these things. That's where the battle is, and we need to resist those things. That's how you resist the devil and he flees from you. If you don't understand how to resist and where the warfare is and how to do it, and that you're not doing it in your strength, but under the promises of God and by the faith of God and His Word, that's when you can resist the devil and he'll run from you. That's when the thoughts will go away. And you can set guard over your mind, over our minds. We can put We can have our mind, guard over our mind, so that when something comes through our, we want to join in. We're talking, maybe we're in a conversation with somebody, and somebody starts talking about somebody, and we want to join in. And the enemy says, "You don't do that." Have you ever had the enemy shut you up on something? Yeah. I mean, not the enemy. God, the Spirit of God, deal with you and tell you, don't say that, don't do that, don't speak that, don't think that. Bible in 2 Corinthians, what is chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5, though we walk in the flesh, though we live in a fleshly body, as Christians, we do not war after the flesh. Our warfare is not after the flesh, but mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing and every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God's knowledge, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what we need to do. You say, "Well, I don't like some of the things that come in my mind." I don't either. So I get rid of them. Are you listening? And I don't see things or watch things or get into things on purpose that will put things in my mind that I know don't need there and are not pleasing to God. Amen? Does that mean I'm perfect? I'm only perfect in Christ. Amen? But I can get in make my body be and my mind be in subjection to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is in me by His power. We as believers and as Christians can do all of those things. Amen? I ain't even got to my sermon yet. I'm just teaching some scripture right now. Amen? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 1, be even more diligent. That's something you have to do, believer. Lewis, that's something you have to do, Lewis. To make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Amen. And not only that, verse 11, for so an inheritance will be supplied to you abundantly. Amen. That means you can start enjoying it right now. And it's an abundant. It's of abundance. Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we're born again by the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us that we're translated. Now listen, I think this is 1 Thessalonians. We're translated out from the kingdom and power of darkness. You with me? That's what we're born into when we're born into this world. We're born into this kingdom of power of darkness. And the God of this world, because Adam and Eve lost it, the God of this world controls it and controls everybody that's born in it, whether they believe it or not. That's why Jesus, that's the only way we could be saved, and that's why Jesus had to come. He had to live a perfect life and die and take our place and die on the cross to take our place so that the things that Adam lost and the things that we were in the world of darkness could be changed and we could be transformed by the power of God and through the Spirit of God and through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we could be translated out from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen. So I want to tell you right now, if you're a Christian, one of the things, first things that you need to learn is God has translated you, actually has birthed you. You're crucified with Christ, the Bible says. We're crucified with Christ, Paul says. Nevertheless, Galatians 2:20, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? Now I quit teaching what to preaching, didn't I? And I'm preaching to myself too. I need to hear all of this. We need to be reminded of what we're supposed to do so we can enjoy the salvation and the new creations we are in the new kingdom. Jesus came to set up a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. And he told them when he was talking to Pilate about to be crucified, Pilate said, "Are you a king then?" He said, "You have a kingdom." He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, well, then my servants would fight for it." Amen. Verse 12, therefore, everybody say therefore. And I like to say this just as a reminder, whenever you see that word therefore, you want to say, well, what is that there for? And if you go back and read previously, you'll know what it's there for. Therefore, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them, and are established in the present truth. And I think it's right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, that is, putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly, Paul says, I know that shortly I'm going to have to put off this tabernacle, my physical body, my human, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor, verse 15, that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Amen. So there's things, several places in the Bible, I don't have time to go through all of them. Jude chapter 1, verse 5 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And so, in other words, they didn't reach the complete fruit of their salvation. They didn't go through the life. Their lives were cut short. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto you thou hast attained. So, put the brother in remembrance of these things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Quit arguing a bunch of people. Just get in the Word of God and know the Word of God and what it tells you, and remember what the Word of God says. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And he took bread. Jesus took bread, and after he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Amen. Do this in remembrance of me. Malachi 3:16. The Lord says there, then they that feared the Lord, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, the Lord spoke after one, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Amen. There's some good scripture here. Amen. Jesus answered in John chapter 14. I'm just sharing some scripture with you. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Write some of these things down and go back and reread them, and over again if you have to. Jesus answered and said unto him, John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, we'll live with him. We'll make our abode. His body will become my dwelling place. Amen? Didn't the Bible say your bodies as Christians are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us? Didn't he say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Are y'all with me this morning? Somebody say amen. Praise amen. God. Amen. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, Jesus said, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, verse 25, being yet present with you. And I'm going to have to go away, verse 26, and I'm just adding that. He was having to go away. The reason he was explaining to this to them, and the reason this wrote, was written down by John, so that you might believe. Amen? Because what? Verse 26, I'm sending you another comforter. But the comforter, everybody say comforter. This morning I got it cold. And I had a cup of coffee, and it didn't do me much good. So I went and got my comforter, my throw. And I got in my chair, and I wrapped this thing around me, and boy, it felt so good. Did you? You know what I'm talking about? That's just a slight idea, but if that makes you feel good, how much more better it would make you feel if you realize your comforter is the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? That's what he's talking about. I'll give you warmth. I'll give you comfort. I'll give you shelter. I'll give you protection. I'll give you somebody that'll stick with you and never leave you nor forsake you. When you stumble and when you fall and when you do wrong and you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, he'll still be with you. He will be your comforter. He will give you the scriptures. He will draw you back to me. Amen? That's why he gave us the comforter. Amen. So the Bible tells us to be not drunk with wine, where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. How do I know I'm filled in the Spirit? The next verse. I don't even remember where I am. I'm Galatians chapter 5, I think. Be filled with the Spirit. How do you know he's filled with? Speaking to you. Look, the next verse. Speaking to yourself and to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Amen. I love to go through the day singing. In fact, I had this song down and I sing it from time to time. I don't go, you know, I'm working. People think you're crazy if you're sitting in your office trying to run your business and they hear you singing praises to God. That might not be a bad thing, but and might be a good thing. But you can do it under your breath or in line out, you know. When you're by yourself, you can shout as loud as you want to. But if you don't want to, you with me? I mean, have some sense in the matter. Oh, my goodness. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I was about to leave the house this morning, and the Lord reminded me of one of the songs that I sing from time to time in myself. And he said, I want you to go print that out. I said, Lord, I need to be at the church in 15 minutes. He said, get on your computer and look it up. It'll pop up just like that. I said, it better, because I don't have time to go looking for it. And I put it in, and it popped up. And I printed it. And I brought it with me. And it's by Dottie Rainbow. And the name of it was Remind Me, Dear Lord. And I thought, boy, that goes along with what I'm preaching on this morning, doesn't it? The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only lets me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm human and humans forget, so remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hands. Yet he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember I'm human and humans forget, so remind me, dear Lord. There he is. And that's what the same thing that the Word of God says. That's what makes it so good. It's from the Word of God. I'm going to close with these few words. In the Old Testament, something else that God had me write down this morning. In the Old Testament, God gave the children of Israel several things to do. And some visible things. Tangible items that they could see that would remind them and help them to remember the Lord and what He had done for them. The tangible things that He gave to them was the temple of worship. There were tangible sacrifices such as lambs, the fruit of their crops, money, things that He had provided for them so they could live and survive, but also they could bring a portion of that to the temple in thanksgiving and in worship of Him. That was the tangible things. The intangible things, such as a day of worship. He set aside a day of worship. He said, you don't work on that day. That day is set aside for you to remember. These are the intangible things. Prayer. Praise. Thanksgiving. He gave us instructions from His Word to keep and are to obey. All these things were to serve as reminders to them, children of Israel, that He was their God. And to remind them that He provided for them and He was deserving of their worship. Now, He's done the same thing for us today. Amen? As His born-again children, He's given us some tangible items. You want to know what they are? His church. I'm not talking about a building, I'm talking about the people. Yeah. We're His church. He didn't. He only dwells in this, well, God's everywhere in that sense. But He only dwells in this building when His people come into this building. That's when His presence is here. When, are you with me? So He's given us the church. He's given us His Word, this book, His Bible. These are things He's given to us, believers. He's given us the Bible. He's given us fellow believers. He's given you to me. He's given me to you. When I look at people that are on the same spiritual frequency with me, boy, we have something in common. And I may meet somebody from time to time and I don't know who they are, I don't know them by name, but their spirit bears witness to my spirit. Hey, there's one of God's children. Have you ever had that happen to you? I remember Corrie Ten Boom talking about she was somewhere in London or Norway or in some foreign country and she got on the street and she'd just gotten off the bus or train or whatever she'd ridden on and she was walking and she was in a strange place, didn't know anybody, but she saw somebody and the Lord let her know. Her spirit said, there's one of your gods right there. That's one of her. Mine. We have a relationship. I don't know her name, a complete stranger, but I know we have a relationship. Because not only does God's Spirit bear witness with our spirit, but our spirit bears witness of one another that we belong to God. Isn't that wonderful? This is some of the intangible things that he gives us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us a day of worship. He gives us tangible items. He gives us fellow believers. He gives us the heavens. He gives us the earth, the wind, the rain, and many other such things that we can look around and look up and see and say, hey, my Father created that. Amen. Intangible things. He gives us a day of worship. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us His presence. He gives us prayer. He gives us praise. He gives us worship. He gives us songs. He gives us miraculous works of healing. He gives us His provisions. Oh, my goodness, some miraculous things He's done in our lives. Has God ever done anything miraculous for you that you remember? Well, some new Christians might say, well, I don't remember anything that He's ever done miraculous for you. Well, He made you one of His children. He birthed you into the kingdom of God. Let's start with that. Amen. Praise God. He knows you. And you know that you know Him because He's given that to you. Are you with me? His Spirit in you. He's given us these things. And He does things for us. We need to think about, hey, I was in this situation and I don't know, I prayed about it. I had some other people pray about it and all of a sudden it was taken care of. Thank God. He did that. I can give Him thanks. Amen. And sometimes it can be just little things, what we would consider minor things, but let me tell you something. You don't ever forget this. If anything in this world is, as a Christian and as a believer and as a child of God, if anything in this world is troubling you, trying to worry you, trying to bother you, trying to give you confusion or doubts or frustration or anger or animosity or any of those things, do you remember that God knows exactly what's going on and He knows how to take care of it. And He can tell you what to do. And I just do whenever I just say, hey, I recognize that thought of pride coming in there. I don't accept that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Get out of here. I only glory in Christ Jesus because if it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be nothing anyway. You have to. And it's not a difficult thing because He gives us the power and the ability and the energy to do it. He doesn't ask us to do all this thing on our own. He's inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to do these things. All of these things, all of these He has provided that we would be and should be reminded that He is here, that He is with us, that He's for us, that He loves us and will be with us always. And as He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can somebody say amen? If you're a Christian, I want you to know, I don't care what people tell you, what the devil tells you, what kind of thoughts the enemy tries to put in your mind, that God's forsaken you and He doesn't love you anymore. I want you to know God loved you. The Bible says God loved us in that while we were yet sinners, no good, rotten, lost, full of the devil, full of cursing, full of bitterness, full of all of these things. He loved us. And if He loved us then, how much more now does He love us because we're His children? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now let's stand. We're going to be dismissed. Anybody needs to come to this altar for any reason. I don't know whether I always like to give an invitation just in case and that God's dealt with somebody through the message and maybe wants you to come pray for somebody or pray with somebody or just come and be thankful or whatever He wants you to do. If you want to do that here at this altar and pray, you come right now. Come on. Anyone, anywhere. You need somebody to pray for you, raise your hand. We'll have some people come by and pray for you. Amen. Pray right now, and this is our dismissal prayer, and I want to pray for everyone, these here at the altar and those who have been praying out there, but I don't want you to leave just yet, because I want to make an announcement. Father, we thank you for all of us, Lord, and in some way, I guess we have this morning, all of us have responded to your precious Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful that you're our Father, our Heavenly Father, that our sins are forgiven, and that we can have and know you and your precious Son and have a relationship with you, that you can teach us your word and help us to understand you, that we can be helpful in other people's lives by encouraging them with what you've done in our lives, and by encouraging them with your word and what we know of it. And Father, we just want to thank you. And we've been translated out from the kingdom of power of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of your dear Son, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for everyone that's here today. These at the altar, we're lifting before your throne of grace, Father. Thank you for the response to you, Lord. And thank you for responding to us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen.